Good morning. Welcome to Spring Community Church, everybody. We are happy to see you. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? All right. Will you stand and worship with us?
Count cross and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Now the darkness fades. To a hope beyond. All creation waits with an expectation to declare the reign of the Lord our God. We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one is over. Jesus, as the heavens cry, let the earth respond. All creation shouts with the voice of triumph to declare the reign of the Lord our God.
We will not be moved.
We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one is overcome.
Yes, he has.
And for every fear, there's an empty grave. For the risen one is overcome.
And he shall reign
forever. Strongholds now surrender, for the Lord our God has overcome.
Let's pray together. Holy God, you have overcome. You've overcome in giant cosmic ways as you've overcome sin and what separates us from you. And it's not as if we haven't tried to address the sin problem yet. The distance, so to speak, is too great. We are just finite, normal, good days, bad days, high emotions, low emotions people. And oh, how you understand that as we are created in your image. And as finite human beings, we cannot bridge the gap to infinity, your transcendent nature. Yet a transcendent God who loves and cares dramatically for us. Well, history says that you chose to enter time and space be born a human, that you walk this earth like we do, running into people just like us. Good days, bad days. An array of emotions and events. Every malady and physical disability, it was all put before you. And what is great about you is you addressed it and you healed it. And beyond the physical healing, you brought forgiveness of sins, which is the greatest of human miracles. Continue to overcome in our life, in our world. We lift leadership to you. They got a lot on their shoulders, a lot that they're seeking to make sense of. And I pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would give them truth, that you would give them an insight into how to move ahead in a way that's good collectively, but also, Lord, it's good for each one of us. Again, we're thankful for those that are recovering well from surgery. We pray for those that are moving towards surgery this week. We pray for the needs that you've been meeting this week in an outstanding, wonderful, truly miraculous way. As we talk about authentic today, we declare it gets no more authentic than you. And we're stepping up as your followers. We're seeking to be more authentic, more genuine in our dedication and faith and fellowship of you. Lord, today as we talk about authentic community, I pray that you would be in our midst, that we could make good today on our desire to worship you both in spirit and in truth. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So let's thank everybody leading us. And Isaac, I've been listening more to you during the week, and I'll take it back. You are more of a Bruce Springsteen voice. You have this tone about you. And I don't know much about music, but I can hear that tone as I listen to The Boss this week and went, that sounds like Isaac. So wave at one another. That's as good as we get today. Yay. All right. Awesome. You have been, again, unbelievable this week. We put out the need for the new home for women called Lily of the Valley. They're just calling it the Love House. And we asked for all sorts of things, and you brought so many things. They got to have a garage sale with all the extra things that people brought by. And that's awesome, because that's going to address the scholarship need of women in phase one when they attend this opportunity, this recovery program. Second person was interviewed. I think she was picked. Another person that has been living in their car for over a year, a woman, no place else to go. And we are providing a very profound need, not only to our community, but I think to our church's community in this community. Because we all know somebody that could use that kind of hand up in life as they seek to become more whole in Jesus Christ. So thank you for that. Oh, guys, this is for you. We got a video about an upcoming Promise Keeper Summit that we're going to satellite and be involved in. Ready, set. We're getting there.
What does it mean to gather? To come together? To assemble? To take in from scattered places? To gather is to be stronger together. The world looks very different these days. And if you're feeling confused, helpless, or disconnected, you're not alone. And now is not the time to give up hope. Save the date, July 31st and August 1st. We're calling all men to gather. Find out what God has in store for you as individuals so you can rise up as a brotherhood in Christ and join the Promise Keepers virtual experience of a simulcast in your area where you can safely gather with your brothers in person.
Now we're headed to our scripture reading.
I'll be reading John 13, 31 through 36. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Simon Peter asked, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "You can't go with me now, but you will follow me later."
All right, Julie is our elder deacon liaison, which means she sits on our elder board. But she also moderates our deacon board. That way, we've got good communication with our different levels of leadership. And the great thing is when something needs to get solved, it gets solved. I think addressed in a very positive, creative way. But also, it gets dealt with immediately. It doesn't take months and months to address things. So, Julie, thank you for being in that position and reading the scripture. And I noticed, let's see, a rose amongst the roses as you're reading. There were no guys in there, so there were no thrones. Just rosebuds, nothing sticky. Okay, I'm going to take a survey today. How many of you, and we'll just do a simple thing like this. When I used to surf and would drive down Malibu Canyon Road, the guys coming back from surfing, you'd put your hand out the window and you'd go like this. And then they'd tell you, oh, the surf's really up. They'd say the surf's really down, and the surf was really down. Then you'd go eat breakfast before you went to the beach. If the surf was up, you went just a little bit faster, and the police knew that, and they were always waiting for those other drivers that drove too fast on Malibu Canyon Road. So, down or up, how was it living in your family of origin? Was it an up? Was it a down? I brought this up to somebody the other day, kind of went like this. Some days it was good, some days it was not so good. Here's the deal. We're going to talk today about authentic community, about genuine community, about not a knockoff, not something that's an imitation. And what I like about the church is this statement, and I actually got it from a little clip on a TV show. The family that you were born into is not the family you have to choose for the rest of your life. The family you were born into is not the family that you have to choose for the rest of your life. If you were born in one of these kinds of families, We do as adults have the opportunity to do what I like to say is trade up. Trade up for a better family. I think the trade up that we can choose and we ought to choose as we make our way into adulthood is the community of faith, the family of faith. Because Jesus is the head of the church and we are following him, we want to be devoted to him, we want to be his disciples, then what happens is that becomes the very best version of us we can become. We improve in our being created in the likeness of God. We improve and blossom as we realize that God has a personal call to us, that he has a place on his team for us, that he wants us to be a part of his family. And I could tell you, for me, it was a trade up. Immediately, I noticed that the family of God, I was almost 18 years old, on my way to college. Very quickly, I realized that was a way better family to be a part of. And part of my response to the faith was really a response to the community of faith. If this is what it's like to have a lifetime membership in this club, count me in. Well, then I realized it's actually longer than a lifetime. That this membership, so to speak, lasts for all eternity. I believe the Christian community is really about belonging and then believing and then becoming. We belong to this family, and I hung out with this family for several weeks, gaining some understanding of what it meant to be a part of this community, what it meant to have Jesus be the leader of my life. And so I, like a lot of other people, needed to belong before I was able to believe. You know, it's hard to believe it all and then belong. In fact, I think the challenge of that is the community is so genuine, that's where you understand your belief best. Because it's not just up here in your head. It has to abide in your soul, in your inner being. So we belong to a church community, a small group, a circle of people, you know, maybe with coffee in their hands or whatever. We belong to that group, and then as we belong to that group, we then begin to understand what it means to be a Christian. We begin to understand what the general, genuine article is. When the Bible talks about the body of Christ, the family of God, the church. And then out of that, we're in the best, most fertile environment to grow to our very best. Grow to our very best. Now that's what our scripture passage says. Let's look at it. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So we were born into this world. Maybe we were born into a family of chaos, of unhealth. And because of our love for one another, and truly, I understand that's not an easy thing I just said. Stepping up to really loving people is really a challenge. So it's never been, I think right now, it's never been a bigger challenge than it is today. Love one another. When other people see our love for one another, God uses that to draw them to the community. That's why one of the reasons that our community is so important, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And what's the second one? Love your neighbor just the selfish way you like to be loved. Yes, that's right. And I don't know about you, but I'm a peculiar treasure, right? I think we all are. You got to get through the peculiar to get to the treasure. And trying to get through the peculiar part, sometimes that takes a lot out of us. I was fortunate enough when I got around the Christian faith, and I mentioned this the other week, the youth pastor pulled to the side three of the wildest guys in the youth group, pointed me out literally as I played flag football, and said, "He is your project. If you do not what? Love him as Christ has loved you, he will never become a Christian." And I think that youth pastor was exactly right. What I needed is I needed to what? Belong. I love belonging. But belonging to a family, God's family, was definitely a trade up for me. And therefore, I had a few things I needed to learn. Just as a small aside, I'll brag. So we're at the beach, and back in the day, you wore your gym trunks from your high school, and then your boxers stuck out about 2 inches underneath your, right? You remember, some of you are old enough to remember those days. Well, you might remember a guy named Lou Zamperini, if you've been around. Well, he was one of the youth leaders in this youth group, and he chewed me out on the beach about having my boxers underneath. He said, "I know you're new around here, but let me tell you one thing. There are girls and women around here. I don't ever want to see those boxers ever again." And when Lou Zamperini talked with you in a stern voice, you just kind of went, "Yes, sir. What? Here, wait. Let me fix that right now. You will never see my boxers ever again. I can guarantee it." What a man! What a man of faith! What an athlete! What a go-getter for Christ he really was. He was seeking to love those around him. And sometimes if you love somebody, you tell them, "Dude, we don't do that around here. No, that's not the way we act in this family. In this family, we're respectful of other people. We belong so that we can believe, and I believe in that environment, we become the very best version of ourselves. Are we perfect? No. Are we working on it? Yes. We're a part of the sanctification process. We're not sanctified yet. But we keep moving forward in terms of that. So what does it take? What does it take to belong so that you can believe and become? What is that community? What's it feel like to be a part of that community? Number one, it's developed. It happens out of regularity. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. Now, that's a challenge, right? We can't meet together. In fact, things could change radically in the state of Washington in the next couple of days. It's already changed radically in other states in terms of churches gathering and how they might do that. I think that we can gather without even being together. We can gather small. We can gather online, on live stream. I've learned all sorts of things from Rick about how to do a Zoom meeting. He's not cut me loose to do one yet, so I still have training wheels on when it comes. But see, we can stay connected. We can stay connected. We can gather, and I know you're doing this. In fact, I was a part of one. We gathered in a parking lot. Everybody brought their lunch. We were about, you know, how far were we? You know, 7, 8, 10 feet from one another. It was quiet enough that we could talk to one another, eat our lunch. What were we doing? We were churching. We were churching together. So it does take some regularity, some frequency as we meet. 2 Timothy. This one's not in your notes, I don't think, so write it down. 2 Timothy 2:22. Enjoy the companionship of those who love the Lord. There is a companionship that happens in the body of Christ. And I know this for a fact, not everybody embraces that companionship. Not everybody is sure what it's all about. And that's okay. Maybe it's a little hurtful to us. Maybe we feel a little rejected when that happens. But I know this, if you want a real friend, you'll find it in your small group. I can just about guarantee that, because there the companionship is really high. The frequency is really high. All the other things I'm going to talk about this morning are large dynamics in a small group. And so I'd encourage you, if you need a companion, get in a small group. Okay? Get in a small group. Why? Because we enjoy the companionship of others who love the Lord. And let's go one more minute there. The reason why the companionship is so good is it's not really self-centered, it's Christ-centered. It's Christ-centered. And so it's not just about getting our own needs met, it's about being a resource for other people. Because when we love the Lord, right, that's the first big commandment, now we're called, with His eternal and divine perspective on someone, now we're really ready to love them, to care for them, to be with them. Okay, to put up with them. Some days you just have to put up with them, right? Go back outside till your attitude changes. They're adults, you can't send them to their room. You can make them sleep on the couch, but you can't, right? See, I knew you'd laugh about that. All right, frequency is at the top. Number two, it is about sharing your real feelings with one another, a real openness. Honestly sharing your feelings. Romans 12, verse 9, this is out of the Message. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Now, sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. I get it. Right? We don't have to bring all of our agenda, all of our baggage, all of our bad emotion to a moment. But the fact is that our community is driven out of who we are on the inside. It's not about something on the outside, it's about something on the inside. And that's why the first great commandment is to get the inside organized, healed up, saved, regenerated. Because then out of that, you're able to deal with the complexity of relationships. And I can tell you right now, I understand the complexity of relationships. We need to be open and honest with one another because that builds community. In fact, being open and honest is really the beginning of you being rejuvenated, being healed, being transformed, being changed, the Bible says. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. Now, here's the deal. When you're taught how to be a counselor and a therapist, one of the things you realize is everything that is unspoken within you has power over you. And it's not a godly power. It's not a whole power. It's not a strong power. It's a little bit of at least a destructive, holding back, holding you down kind of power. And the only thing that releases that power is, and the Bible says this, oh, the truth will what? Make you free. And instead of being truthful, we hold stuff in, don't we? Don't we? And if we hold it in, then we're holding it in, and therefore the Holy Spirit can't heal us. Now, let me be clear. Don't tell everybody everything. You know what? They just don't want to hear it. But you need to tell everything to somebody. Somebody. Why? Because if you don't, then it can't be healed. If you don't, it can't be healed. And God wants to heal us as much as he can in this world. He will completely heal us when we get to eternity. Now, here's the thing about the things that we need to have healed in our life. A lot of times, we're hiding things from ourselves and from others. We hide them inside of us. And honestly, that's one of the good things that happens when you go to a counselor or a therapist or somebody like that, is you start saying things that you'd never say, and maybe you shouldn't say, to other people. You have that safe person that knows how to heal, and you say, you know, this is how I feel today. And the great thing is you're paying them, they got to listen to you. And because they got to listen to you, they listen with ears, the ears of a therapist or a counselor, someone who understands the wisdom of the scriptures and understands just how broken, bruised, mangled we are, depending on what kind of family we came out of and what kind of trauma we've run into in our adult life, the tragedy that's come our way. And our community is about healing. And so if we're frequently meeting and we're doing that in an open, honest way, it shouldn't surprise us that we start getting healed from some of the brokenness that we drag around with us. The Word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife. Ooh. Cutting deep into our own innermost thoughts and desires, mind and heart. It exposes us for what we really are. Now, here's the thing. You may not know who you really are, but the people around you do. And you know why? Because you're hiding it from yourself, but you're leaking all over the place. You leak over here, the pressure builds up, you're leaking over here. One of the ways I know I have too many things on my plate is stuff starts falling off of it. And you know, if I wanted to, I could just ignore that stuff's falling off my plate. But you know what happens? Usually when I start ignoring that, somebody's going to have my bad day. A couple of times I've walked into the office and I've told everyone in the room, just leave me alone. I'm closing my door until I come out. Just leave me alone. Hey, I got to go in there and pray some more and read some scripture and rah, 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 rah. I'm in there walking around, talking to myself. Rawr, 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 rawr. Oh, darn people. Rawr, rawr. I am like Snoopy. I love humanity. It's people I have trouble liking. Don't we all? Yeah, we do. Now, here's the thing about the truth of God as it relates to us is all the heart and soul surgery we need, all the directions are all right here. And all we need to do is what? Take the words of God to heart. Have to take them to heart. Now, I'm like you. You ever cut yourself with a knife? So I think I'm like 6, maybe 7. So I'm working on a balsa wood model, and I just got out a brand new razor blade. You already know where this is coming from. And so I went to make a cut on my balsa wood model, and I made the cut, but I also cut this index finger to the bone. And it bled so bad I knew I had to tell my mother. I hated telling my mother I broke something or wrecked something, right? And so I'm like holding my finger together and, you know, trying to get my, you know. So I go to the hospital, and the doctor's talking to my mom and says, you know, it's his index finger on his dominant hand. If we freeze it, it might permanently numb the nerve endings in his finger. And so we're going to have to put the stitches in without numbing it. So somewhere in Davenport, Iowa, there is a gurney with the imprint of my left hand on it. As my mom, a nurse, hold my right hand down. The good thing is I really didn't yell and scream. I just whimpered, and floods of tears came down. Well, let me tell you what. I learned one thing right then. I'm really, really safe around anything that cuts. Even to today, there's one knife in our kitchen. I don't even like using it because it's really, really sharp. No, give me the dull one. I'll use the dull one. Okay, here's the transition. When you've been cut to the bone by something, it really hurts to get it healed. It really hurts. And you're almost thinking, you know what? I don't know if the solution is worse than the cause. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can get through this. And you can't on your own. Somebody said to me this week, things going on in their life, how do people do this who don't belong to a church, that aren't a part of a small group? And I looked at them and I said, drugs and drinking. They don't do it well, I know. We do it poorly when it's left up to us. And so we need an openness and an honesty. We need to be able to say what's really going on with us. And what happens as we're honest, appropriately honest, by the way. Remember, you don't tell a single person everything about you. But there should be one person that you can tell everything to. It creates a mutuality. I know how small groups work. I ran small groups in my previous church. Even wrote a book on small groups. And I know what makes a small group really into a small church. It's people sharing what's really going on in their life. Right? It's conversation. It's study. It's service. And it's suffering together, realizing we're not alone, realizing that there's some other people around here that care about us. And we need that mutuality. Boy, do we need that mutuality. We are in a national crisis of mutuality. Don't have it. And I believe those that can lead the way to mutuality are who? The church. Christians, why? We understand mutuality. We understand going back and forth honestly in conversation about being vulnerable towards another person and telling them where we hurt, what our need is. And that's not an opportunity for shame. That's an opportunity for what? Mutual encouragement, mutual support, and mutual accountability. They all go together. They all go together. Let's see if I got one more to read to you. I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith helps me. My faith will help you. I believe that's very true. Your faith helps me. Hopefully my faith helps you. Why? We're all in this together. We are clearly better together than we are alone. No matter how much of a hermit you are, everybody needs somebody they can call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody does. So what's another symbol of our community together? And that is we have to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. Wait, let me say this one more time, since I'm a lead pastor. To be able to disagree without being disagreeable. Wow, you know, we get more disagreeable the older we get. We just do, right? Don't we? Anybody want to challenge me on that? This young couple here does, but just give it a few years. You'll know what I'm talking about. So how do we do that? How do we disagree without being disagreeable? Number one, cultivate courtesy. Believers shouldn't curse anyone or be quarrelsome, but they should be gentle and show courtesy to everyone. That is a big challenge. That is a big challenge. But the goal is, how do we disagree but still be courteous towards one another? Romans 14:1. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Well, that wasn't my family. But like a loving family, excel in showing respect for each other. How do you show respect in disagreement with someone else? Now, I know you know how to show disrespect, because we all know how to do that. That's our sinful nature. The big question is do we have an image in our mind of mutuality that is cultivating a care and a concern for someone else, a courtesy towards someone else, here, a respect for someone else. Now, one way you know is whether people are really listening to you. Now, some of us, our minds work very quickly. And so, not that I've ever done this before, but while you're talking, I'm already creating the rebuttal. The rebuttal, three examples, a quote from history, few verses out of the Bible. Don't I, Valletta? So I had to take a counseling degree so I'd learn how to listen. I'm an extrovert. We are not the category of great listeners. Perhaps that's why I'm not a full-time counselor. Why? So, what does James say? James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know, God gave you two ears and one mouth, as my mother would say, in the scriptures, for a reason. Listen twice as much, and then speak. And so, okay, man, can you not hurry up? Come on, you give me the condensed version. Come on. So I noticed that the more I listen, it affects that last thing. I'm not so angry. Why? Because I understand more. Why? Because I've tried to listen longer than get the debate going and get my side all lined up and extend it out there, right? And there's a few others like me in the room. Get really good at showing honor. Take delight in honoring each other. You know, sometimes people make it almost impossible for you to honor them. But whenever you can, it's good to honor everyone. But then it's really good to honor someone who is worthy of being honored. And we have to learn how to do that. That is something that's kind of, again, kind of going by the wayside. How do you honor someone? Oh, I'll just send them a text message. Okay, well, that, you know, if you're another 22-year-old, that might be very honoring. Nobody writes thank you notes anymore, and nobody, including me, does it in cursive writing. Not anymore. I know Valletta does. She has beautiful handwriting. I coveted that handwriting while the nuns were beating me because I... Yeah, keep hitting my left hand. Just don't hit my right one. It's the one I got to write with. Honoring other people. It's important. And then finally, be humble. And I think that takes us all the way back to the beginning of this list about cultivating courtesy. Always be humble, gentle, patient, accepting each other in love. Let's see. I usually get one of those three at a time. One of those at a time. So I have to remind myself and grab a hold of the other two that maybe aren't coming to me in that moment, but I really need to have in that moment. And being humble will help you be courteous. It'll help you listen. It'll teach you how to honor. Now, we've gone a long ways today, but I think it's a good way. We are called to love one another as we like to be loved, as I like to say. And as we love others as we would like to be loved, it's amazing. Other people look, and I know what they see. I've seen their faces. They are envious. They are envious of what we're experiencing. But they see themselves on the outside, and the only way they get to the inside is through our invitation. You may be lucky enough that the youth pastor pulls over three wild guys and points you out and says, he's your project. Not everybody gets that, but what I hope everybody gets is an invitation, an invite to come and just see. Come belong with us for a while. You'll understand what we believe, and you will see a picture, especially through God's word and the change that's happened in the lives of other people, of what you too can become in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, you know our hurts. You know the places in our life where we're bruised up, we're broken. And it is so human that the healing of that doesn't all happen just at one time. That sometimes it is a lifetime affair. But you're the one that calls us to engagement in that sanctifying process. And that sanctifying process always goes better when we realize what you see in us, that you've called us, that you have created us, that you have a place for us on your team, that we are not alone, that you stand with us, and you have called others around us to stand with us as well. And Lord, where we need to learn, I know this, we'll learn it. We'll keep going around and around till we finally learn it. And Lord, the things that hold us back, help us through your forgiveness to cut loose of those things. So that we're not carrying around more more baggage from the past. Lord, where we have an opportunity to be a friend, to include, to love, to care, to be courteous, to be a quick listener, an honorer, someone who's gentle and humble. Lord, just whisper to us through your Holy Spirit as we make our way so that we might be the genuine article of you, the family of God. Because, Lord, we know there are a lot of people who still need to love you first and foremost. But boy, how they need to be loved in this day. Help us to be your hands, your feet, your arms, your shoulder, your hands and feet of love and care and of service. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
My confidence, you'll never fail me.
Well, thank you all again for joining us this morning. Isn't it awesome that we worship a mighty God who will never leave us or forsake us? He will not fail us no matter what we go through. Cling to that hope and that promise this week. We bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.